Well, I told her if she can send me some.
Part of this, past time. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our Mount Pleasant City Council meeting tonight, October 25th, 6:30 regular meeting. We'll start tonight. I'll lead us with a pledge allegiance, afterwards Shane will pop in with a prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our kind gracious heavenly fathers, we come to thee here on this beautiful night. We're grateful for all the many blessings and for this beautiful valley in which we live in. We're grateful for the moisture which we received and ask thee to continue to bless us with that moisture which we are so desperate need of for this coming year. Please help and guide and watch over us and help us do those things which we need to. We're grateful for this country and for those who served our country and for those that continue to serve. And we plead with our leaders and leaders here as a council and members of this community that we can make the decisions which we need to benefit this community and make this a continue to make this a wonderful place to live. We're grateful for everything thou hast given us and all thou hast blessed us with. And we say these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Next we have roll call.
Lynn.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
And Ronnie and Sam are here. Sam's not fully well and I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, I think he's at work. So next is approval of September 13th, 2022 regular city council meeting.
Motion ready to accept the 13th September 2022 regular council meeting minutes.
I'll second it. Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Russell to approve the minutes of the September 13th regular city council meeting. All those in favor? Any opposed? Next is our September 27th regular city council meeting.
Development up there.
Which one?
The Dilsons.
We approved just one.
Just one.
One little lot.
Just one lot.
One lot. Okay.
Yeah. But there's some concerns about landlocked.
That's, they were going to buy it all as one piece, so there wasn't a concern.
Yeah.
She had to extend the sewer also. They had to extend the sewer.
Yeah, I can remember that. I just didn't know whether we... Yeah. I knew we broke it off, given the one lot. The one. Is there anything open on the other end of it, or is that just the one lot?
Just the one lot.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve minutes for 27th of September 2022 regular council meeting.
Okay, the motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to accept the minutes of the September 27th regular city council meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Next is approval of adjustments, transaction register dated 9/1/2022 to 9/30/2022 in amount of $11,527.64.
Is this the transaction there?
Yeah, the two-page one.
That's positive?
Yes.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the transaction registered 9/01/2022 to 9/30/2022 in the amount of $11,527.64.
And I'll second it. We have a motion by Paul and seconded by Lynn to approve transaction register dated 9/1/2022 to 9/30/2022 in the amount of $11,527.64. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Next is approval of our claim register dated 9/25/2022 to 10/21/2022 in an amount of $1,024,248.47.
That's a big one.
He just went off that one.
This, page 14 is, PEHP Group Insurance. We got two of them for $32,000. What are they?
The employee self-care insurance.
One was for September and one was for October.
So here on page 13, where we paid Kevin Daniels $5,000.
What he wanted to do was a retainer, so that he keeps running up to get his check all the time. It's kind of funny with him. Anytime he does anything, he wants to come get a check. So he wanted to do a retainer. So it's a $5,000 retainer, and he'll turn invoices against that $5,000.
But shouldn't that have been approved by the council?
I don't know, because it's, he's been our attorney.
Yeah, but it's over $2,500 too.
Which one is that?
We're on page 13.
Daniels.
Kevin Daniels, about just a little over half down there.
Is all of it already in the budget?
Yes.
It's already in the budget.
Yeah, it's in the budget, we're already. Well, that, a big one, $319,000, that was for the roads we had.
Yeah.
That's why we're so much.
And then UAM's was high too.
Yeah.
And it's a month of invoices because we didn't have a meeting.
Right.
So on page 16, on Stokes Equipment, that $1,200.
Is that the tractor? So ran along the tractor?
Maybe.
Some cemetery tractor. It was a hydraulic cylinder that was pulling out on the bucket and the park brake kit and the handle for the back window.
Okay.
On which piece of equipment?
The little tractor.
The cemetery. The little cemetery tractor.
So on 21, we got one here for wheeler machinery. All that and four. For $6,493.63.
Which one, man?
Yeah, wheeler machinery, 116. That's for, $6,493.63.
I don't know what. So it's either the repair of the roller or the backhoe or one of the other two down there.
Okay.
I'll see it.
She's turning down. Right almost to the bottom. There's two of them there.
Yeah, the one behind and
one for six.
Six.
You're on page 16, maybe page 21.
Oh, I thought you said 16.
That's your page 16.
You good? I'll make a motion that we approve invoice register dated from 9/25/2022 to 10/21/2022 in the amount of...
One more flip.
Huh?
Flip it over one more page.
They're both the same right here. $1,024,248.47.
Okay, motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to approve claim register dated 9/25/22 to 10/21/22 in the amount of $1,024,248.47. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay, requisitions. There's a couple, one that Bondi submitted for the road surface inventory and dashboard management services. Find.
The Sunrise Engineering one.
Yeah, the Sunrise Engineering one. Total upfront cost is $5,375.
That's the Sunrise?
Yeah, it's the Sunrise one. There's no number on it, just the Sunrise. It's up to the roads to, for our CIB money.
So basically, they're just gonna tell us what roads we need to chip seal or replace.
Computer-based, the way I understand it, it's a computer-based program to put them all in and one at their last time and try to keep track of everything that way. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, you've helped Ron Dion this.
I did hear what you said.
Just basically an inventory of our roads and to help with our CMB road funds, which we apply to those and stuff that way.
Much more responsive to the help us update that. iWorks, to do that, we have to call and contact them, and their program seems super primitive, very hard to run a report, so I think this will be something more as Rondi and Colter, and maybe even myself if need be, but I think something a lot more manageable that we can use, and I think they're tech team will be much more responsive to help us keep that updated. The step down we did use to get that really updated to increase our CRO funds.
So what's the annual? What's the annual about on here? Is it yearly that we're going to do this, or?
Yearly was $2,500.
So the initial cost is the 50.
53
to get it set up, and then every year afterwards for them to update it and keep it up to date is the $2,500.
Do we have to sign a contract with them for down the road?
Never sign one right now.
That. I don't know. I can't answer that because Ronnie's been working with him on it.
My only little bit of reluctance has been, like we sent iWorks a check that I think they cashed, but we don't want to have them kind of pull the plug on our data where we can't access it. You can't easily have Sunrise then come and extract the data to move over to the new system.
So would we be getting into the iWorks with going to this? Yes. With going to this.
What's that? Is that costing us anything, that iWorks?
Yeah, it had a yearly fee of.
A yearly fee.
What was it? $23,000.
So we're basically just switching from one to another.
Okay.
But I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So you need a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll make a motion that we hire Sunrise Engineering for the roadway surface inventory and dashboard management services. What?
The upfront cost of $5,375.
The cost of $5,375.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve Sunrise Engineering to do the roadwork surface inventory and dashboard management services. First year cost is $5,375. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
And Paul?
Yes.
Okay, next I got a quote from Graham Fire Apparatus. Fire department, no number on it. For $41,094.96. I know this is a compressor to fill their oxygen tanks.
Is this in their budget?
Is this in their budget, Dave?
It would be a budget adjustment, but when it comes to safety and stuff like this, sometimes I do get nervous of sending out, you know, our crew with half-filled bottles. We did have a couple of questions, and I did hear back from Sam whether or not there were other bids, or even though there were other qualified people to supply that. So maybe if this is one you want to go ahead and approve, we could make that contingent upon that information from Sam.
Yeah, definitely ought to see if there's other suppliers.
And he might have thought that.
He did tell me there was other suppliers, because when I talked to him one day, he said that there was other suppliers and we ought to get bids for them.
So is that the town title too, or did we, I'm just thinking, I mean, could we go in together with them or something? I mean,
I think I heard that, but that's more stuff might have been a little bit different, because I was talking with him about the ocean and what's raised in.
Yeah, he's from us.
Yes.
We're all the fire district now. If other communities have them or need it, we ought to definitely ought to see if we could share.
Yes, that's
share the cost.
I know the one difference was we have high pressure bottles, so the compressor that we used to share with Fairview and Spring City and everybody doesn't work for our bottles anymore because they're high pressure bottles. They have a high PSI on them, and that's why they're only being able to fill them halfway up.
Anything you want to wait till Sam's here to explain it better?
No. I think so.
I hear you. Yeah. It's paperwork.
I think we're on look at the other bids.
That, like he says, I don't know if he's got them, and this was the lowest bid. I just don't know. But I know he was looking at other bids also. So you want to table it to
wait
for some more information from Sam on that particular one? And then the next one is requisition 2022-10251521 to Owens Equipment for $4,074.69. A nozzle for the back truck.
What is it for here, Coleman?
The back.
The back, that's for. That's the nozzle that cleans your sewer pipes.
Okay. They do way out.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve requisition 2022-1025-1521 to old equipment in the amount of $4,074.69.
Now, I'll second it.
Okay, a motion by Russell, seconded by Paul to approve requisition 2022-1025-1521 to Owens Equipment for the dollar amount of $4,074.69. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Sorry. Got a question here, please. Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
And then the tree one, I think that was supposed to be with the Main Street trees. Maybe we might.
It says Main Street project.
And that's part of the agenda on the next, on the agenda. So we'll wait on that, particularly one. And then the next one's the restrooms at the cemetery. Unguarded homes estimated amount $52,388.92.
This one here, Mayor, had a good idea. Maybe we ought to hold for just a little while on it and see if we can get, like, we would put the heater in and some of these things that we could do in-house and see if they'll take it off the top of this with a bid. And see if we can get it down.
There's some other costs that we'll have to put too, because we'll have to run the sewer line and the water line and, is there power out there in that area?
Yeah.
But it's not very far.
So be some other expenses there too. And then still looking at the cemetery, how we can use that money for sure, right, Dave?
Yeah, place three calls to three much bigger cities to get their opinion.
But as of right now, you don't think there's any problem with?
I don't anticipate there is, but where someone makes some questions, I wanted to do further research.
Well, let's just wait on it.
Should we table this one then also?
Let's table that one and just wait until the next meeting.
So keep your packets and bring back in 2 weeks. Then we don't have to regret it all.
And I'll get with, what are we gonna, we're gonna do the heaters?
We need to go through that and see what we can do, because I almost even wonder, we did get the park grant too, so that's what makes me nervous, to do those restrooms there. And I don't know what kind of match we have to do with that.
So you go through this money that's growing with the park?
We don't know for sure.
That's what.
No, the parks directly for the parks.
Well.
That's what.
Well, that's what, see, the parks on the grant, that's what I wondered, because he mentioned that part of the money would go out of the, that, what was the fund again?
Perpetual.
Perpetual fund would go towards that grant.
Well, I just don't see, if you're telling me you can't use it directly in the cemetery, but you can use it across the street, I don't see how that. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So there's some things we need to really get to the bottom and find out.
See, that's why I went to Mike. Mike was worried about interfering, because he'd already figured the price of the lumber and everything and Mike's donation into this, into the grant. So we met this afternoon and discussed that and got that all worked out. Mike's agreed to help supply the lumber for both.
Oh, both restrooms?
Yeah, both restrooms. And so that Mike, he was okay with that. That was all right. He said Sandra had some concerns about the money side of it, whether you could use the perpetuary funds for.
Because, yeah, she got put in a little bit of a panic with that, so.
we're investigating, we're asking some other cities.
So let's just table that.
We'll just wait, we'll get it.
We probably ought to come up with a cost also on that, to what it would cost us to get water, power, sewer and everything else out there too, just so we kind of got a better idea of what the grand total might be too.
Well, with that cost, and I'd like to know, are you saying that's gonna be a donation, if you will, from the power, or would that be then paid off by the cemetery general fund, or is that? Because I don't feel like the power department right now financially is in place to really, I mean, providing the labor is one thing, but it's not in a place to pay for the material.
So that's the other questions we, or other things we need to come up with too, I think.
We could put something together and then just discuss it.
You do the same thing with the sewer culvert?
Yeah.
The water?
Yep.
So we get them, want to do it the right way.
With the heaters you're talking about, what kind of, I know they're probably be electric, so I'm just curious of what, that's why I'm saying we might have to do a serious upgrade.
I don't think we.
What kind of heater are you looking at?
They don't have it in the specs, or they don't have it in the details they got us here, it just says, there's 8-gallon water, electric water heaters. And light fixtures, light bulbs are allowance, electrician installed, please, plate covers, and it doesn't tell us, so that's another thing we'd have to have information on, what kind of size of heaters are figuring.
Well, I'll just plan on a 200 amp, and then it's, because I know we had to upsize the one up to the Comptoy.
And I don't know.
This was not near as big as that.
No, it's not near as big, but.
They were gonna talk to him too about lowering the roof from 9'8".
And I think we could go down to those little 3-gallon water heaters. Well, we couldn't put them underneath the sink though, because this has got an ADA.
If you do the on-demand ones, you can mount them on a wall, I think, and they're still in a clearance.
For the ADA?
Yeah.
For what little hot water we'd need for a sink, I don't see why we need an 8-gallon water heater.
And then if we.
Unless that's doing both, I guess that's something too.
If we allocate from a 1-inch service to a 3/4 or a 5/8, that would save a bunch of money, and 5/8 would run both them back.
1-inch, yes, yeah.
That would, if you think of that 8-gallon would feed both bathrooms.
Also, 1 8-gallon water heater.
To feed both.
Feed both bathrooms.
No, it doesn't show that actually the drawing where it sits over, so. Okay, there's some information that we need to dig up for the next one to talk about it, I guess.
I'll work on that.
Okay. Like I said, I don't think mine could carry cut the foot off the wheel, just save us a lot on heat, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right, the JDB one we'll talk about in the new irrigation well. So I guess next, that all the requisitions? Did you have one, Shane, or something? We missed?
Yeah, but we can wait till next time.
That I missed?
Okay.
I might have forgot to turn it in too, so. we're good.
All right. Next item is adding a four-way stop, Paul Applegard.
Yeah. Out there.
Kind of right there, then everybody can probably hear you better.
Right there.
Yeah.
Just don't trip on the cords.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for all you guys have done this summer in our neighborhood. It's fantastic. The new road is great. We appreciate it, so thank you. So on the corner here of 100 and 100, and also the corner of 200 and 100, if you can picture those two corners, we'd love to see a four-way stop on both of those corners if possible. We tore down Lincoln Dorm. I wish our kids were maybe a little bit better crossing the road and getting out of the road than they are. But, you know, we've had some scares with traffic coming through, and it'd just be great if we could slow everyone down as they're going. You know, we've got kids that cross from our two girls' dorms to go to our main campus. We've got kids crossing from classroom buildings on State Street, as well as our CET classroom going to our main campus. And then on 200 West, we've got kids or boys crossing from a boys' dorm or the Phil House and the gym facilities over to our main campus. And so whatever we can do to help slow it down, you know, the four-way stop there by the high school, those two four-way stops, seems like it's done kind of what they were hoping it would do. And so we would love to mimic something like that.
So would you do it both on Second, or on Second West, would you do both directions or just east and west on that road? Total four-way on all four intersections?
On two intersections, it would be great to have a total four-way stop on two intersections, because both 100 West and 200 West, we've got foot traffic across that. And then on 100 South, we've got foot traffic crossing that. So if we could slow them down for those roads, that would really be helpful. My guess is that actually would change traffic patterns a little bit. We noticed that, you know, particularly in the morning as people are going to high school, they'll go down 100 or 200 to avoid, you know, the 20 mile an hour zone, to avoid the stoplight here. And so it creates more traffic through our campus, which is not, you know, it's a little scary at times. So so yeah, that's what we would propose. We would love that if the city would be
I just say no problem.
I don't say
I just don't ask Coulter if there's any problems he sees.
No.
The only thing I would ask in return is please make the students use the crosswalk.
Could we put crosswalks on those intersections?
Sure.
That would be awesome.
Is that something you guys want to maintain? Is that something you want us to maintain?
We'll do whatever you want, Coulter. So. Okay. I mean, I don't want to paint the street without, you know, and then we just want to do it however you want.
No, I think crosswalks and some four-way stops right there on both would be great.
And thanks for reaching out to UDOT. You know, I reached out to UDOT to try to do a crosswalk there. That's one area that just, I don't have all the scare kids there. So.
Is that on Third South? With the flags that you,
yeah,
you guys put the flags up, or
we put the flags up. We talked to Coulter, and I think we talked to Shane.
Yeah, you did.
We didn't weld anything on, but yeah, we put the flags up. We still need to train them, right? I mean, our kids are trainable, but it takes them. We should just get shot.
No, well, they come from different countries, so the laws are different countries too.
Yeah, we just really want to be thoughtful when they're crossing. You know, sometimes they're. Yeah, like you're saying, there's a lot of cultural issues or things like that, and they want to get to Maverick and get whatever Maverick has to offer. So yeah, I don't know if we can continue that conversation with UDOT, but you got way farther than I ever did. UDOT came down and talked to me, and they're like, yeah, okay, we'll put, I don't know, they put a little walking man, like those little plastic things, in the middle of that intersection. It lasted like 4 days before someone ran it over. I mean, that's what it means.
Yeah. We can help you keep pushing that.
Yeah, I mean, the city, you got to respond, or response to the city, they don't respond to Los Angeles. So that would be awesome.
And I have a question for you. Do you guys have a policy on wearing their earphones on campus?
I don't know. Yes or that.
I've had a couple of close calls where kids have had their earbuds in and straight walked out in front of me.
Yeah.
Not even hearing the traffic coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a concern I was going to bring up to you, too.
Yeah. No, we definitely have an opportunity to improve, you know, their awareness and their safety as they navigate the roads, so, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised. We've had one kid hit in 21 years I've been here, and they were walking terrorists on, like, Third West, you know.
Weird, that's not a busy street.
Well, the problem, you know, you get snow, yeah. And you got 24 feet, right? It's basically what you got, but no, we appreciate all that you guys have done, so if the council's amenable, both we're happy to help in any way we can. Aaron's crew or Richard or whatever
to help
check
that
you guys want.
Yeah, say approval. Let's get it.
Okay.
I'll get them ordered tomorrow.
Awesome.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the stop signs for 100 West, 100 North, four-way stop, and 200 West, not first North.
100 North. 100 South. 100 South.
100 South. 100 South and 100 West. 100 South and 200 West, four-way stops. Now the crosswalk, I think they need to go in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's part of the trouble, because like, I know halfway up the block, the sidewalks go right across the road.
Oh, that's funny, it's like herding cats.
No, it is.
Well, this might deter some of the traffic too.
It might, it'll help probably. Anyway.
That saves a little life, it's worth whatever it costs.
So I had the motion by Russell and second by Paul to approve adding four-way stop signs on First South and First West and First South and Second West. Roll call.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
I'll give it to you tomorrow, Paul. Okay, thanks guys.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, new problem, Jill Lynch.
I can tell you what she wanted. She came in the other day with a little bit tearful. Her older dog got trampled and killed by two deer out in front of her house, and it really upset her. She knows it's not the first instance of the deer attacking that way. And she just wants to know what we're gonna do about it.
What can we do about it?
I don't know.
I wish there was a way of getting a new law. I think Division of Wildlife be responsible for the...
My wife drives right around the day and see them, you know, just wander in the middle of the day. A lot of them has been born right here in this town, right in this community. So this is they're acclimated. This is their migration.
Yeah.
This is where they're going to live. And you can kill them all. You can haul them all up in the hills, trap them, and they'll be back down here. I told the wife, I said, I think it comes down to the landowners and putting up fence or... I know since we put up our 8-foot fence, we haven't had any in our yard since we done that, but I don't know what else you do. The DWR won't do anything with it.
Well, I'm scared some little kid's gonna get it one of these times.
Yeah, well, what do we do? We tried, we've had discussions with them. Other cities has done the same thing.
It's across the state of Utah, because right after Jill came in and talked to us, I saw on KSL up in one of the cities up north, the same thing had happened to someone up there, that the deer had killed their pet.
So, I don't know, I'm hoping for anything. Didn't they pay a pretty good chunk to have some professional crossbows come in and take them all out?
They've been trapping. They got cages that the fish and game bring in, and then they trap them, and then they kill them that way, out of the traps. But the first year, I know it was only like 6 deer they got.
I'm not a very good trapper.
See, then there's the other side of this too.
Those people that like him.
Yeah, you got those people who like the deer in the community that you're gonna...
You're not gonna make everybody happy. It's impossible.
Oh, it's a safety issue. It's what it is. It's totally a safety issue.
Yeah, because they're getting pretty brazen.
And like Jill pointed out, we also got to try and get the people that feed them to stop. Because that's also causing issues, because some of them think that they're a pet. I had one walk right up to me and want me to pet it. So that's dangerous too.
That's why kids don't get took.
Education. Maybe the kids need to be educated on that too, because they're still wild.
Oh yeah.
Dog got into them right there, you don't know what they do.
Yeah, the dog comes running back to a kid.
I don't know, it's been an issue that since I've been on the council we've been hit with every year.
I think it's something we ought to bring up to Steve Lund to take up to the state, see if the state can do something.
We talked to dudes here not too long ago. The governor talked about the deer issue with all the small communities in Utah. And he said it's not just the small. He talked about the bigger cities.
Yeah, all the bigger cities are even growing up in the foothills too, so.
We might need to go to Steve Lund with it, see if we can get some representative from upstate.
Yeah, see if they can set some kind of precedence.
Fishing game on their own deer.
I don't know what you'd do with them. I really don't. I just chance it.
Years ago, we had a career in the back of the shed.
That was fun.
Yeah, it almost has to go to the landowners. I mean, it just about.
Well, the worst thing is you can't shoot in town, so those landowners that hate them can't shoot either in town. So it's a, and then those that like them are feeding them, so it's a vicious circle. It's really a vicious circle.
When we were kids, there wasn't that problem because dogs run loose back then, and the deer weren't acclimated then. So we didn't have many deer in town back when we were kids.
I don't think people fed them either.
No, they didn't. They might poach them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Spend probably enough time on it.
If you're listening to Jill, sorry.
No, I'll tell her that you guys have looked at... I mean, I told her that you guys have looked at many options.
Yeah, it's...
Still trying to figure out what to do.
The DWR just goes...
Yeah, but that's not our problem.
Yeah, that's not our problem. But if you kill one of them, it becomes our problem immediately.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next item is the new irrigation well. So we opened bids for the pipeline last Wednesday. I sent you the bids the way they came, and then... the other handout that Jeannie just gave to you is for the breakout of each company. Bryce just got to me as this, so we're kind of hand in hand, so you know.
Well, it's amazing, the spread.
Yeah.
When I was looking at that, I'm going, wow.
Yeah, so the lowest bidder was HMH Excavating for $1,302,272.84.
Where are they out of?
Here.
Sterling.
Yeah.
They moved to Sterling, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, talking to Bryce, he's still trying to do some reference checks on them and haven't got them 100% completed.
Do you have a breakdown on all the bids?
That's this paper.
Well, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're going. So the contractor's across the top. This is they're kind of originally when Bryce when we turned it into CIB, we estimated the pipeline about 900, right around 900,000 was the estimate then.
Just for the pipe.
Well, for this same deal that we've just bid out, basically. So it's gone up about 400,000 since we put together our estimates.
We're right there with the engineer.
So are you the older HMH?
When he put it out to.
So you know the rock problems. You've dug up here before.
Yeah, so that's the difference in the bid is. We all know once you cross the highway, you go up by George's and then in front of Allen George's and then cut it behind Horseshoe Mountain, it's going to be a rocky bugger. And so we contracted with an outfit to buy that rock and we dug it out. That's where the difference in the bid is. There's a line item for electrical on the well, and we had 88,000 in there that we pulled out for the rock thing and 42,000 out of the mobilization. That's where the spread and the thing is, and that's how we made up the differences, because we all know how Mount Pleasant is, and it's a rocky motor. So.
And I know one thing, working with Bryce, he was done, I think, asking you to put the electrical back where it was, because I know there was still some, whether or not we was done to do the electrical, or if we was done to have the electrician do it. Mm-hmm. So I know we're still doing some things that way.
When we pulled in, he had sent me an email, and so I emailed him back and told him what number to plug back into here.
That must be the text I got, because it seemed to come from it, but it didn't work.
Oh, so that was a separate, the electrical was separate. Yeah.
No, it's included in this price.
Okay.
But we still need to save just a little bit of money from our, so we got like, well, there's, so we got to the $4,073 from our CIB. Loan and grant, and we had matched 200,000 of our COVID money, so we're running just a little bit short. We still do have 200,000 of our COVID, not quite 200,000 of COVID money, that we had talked about using. The other thing that we don't know, we originally put in to purchase all 625 acre feet of the well. There's 50, I might be wrong on this exactly, but there's like 53 acre feet. Nobody knows who owns. Somewhere through the sale of land, that's never been recorded with the state.
So what should they happen to that situation?
Mostly what they say is until somebody can prove difference, we can probably pump it and use it. Until somebody can prove difference, then we'd have to purchase those acre feet, or else we'd have
to... You would be retro back.
No, because you have to buy it every year. I mean, you have to pay the well expense as you use it. So it's like, you know, you kind of like the water going down the ditch. You either use it or you lose it every year. So that's where we're at. There is some other owners that we know who owns it. It's that Leon Nelson, if I remember right, the last name, which is Dennis Christiansen's grandfather. Again, that hasn't been transferred with the state, so there's still some legwork to find those. We may find those, we may not. But the other four big owners have all agreed to sell us the water rights on it. So basically everybody we know, we've got a commitment to buy the water on that well.
Mayor, is it the Allen Shale well?
Yes. Yes.
I know where the missing water shares are. So we have the farm down below the sewer plant. And anyway, I'll have my cousin meet you some stuff tomorrow the next day.
Okay.
How come I don't want to show the one up on the cat, Holtz Crossing? That one cat that crosses the Spring City Road?
We do. You guys don't make it to bore them. Three attempts to bore them.
Good.
Before they'll let us open cut it.
It can be done.
And they're going to let us go deeper and use HDP pipe instead of having to do a steel casing.
Good.
So we'll go deeper at the state roads and bore them. We have to do three-tenths bore before the election has been cut.
I seen a bore over in Price Canyon that had one guy in there with a chisel and a hammer, inch at a time.
And that's where I feel like is really our biggest difference. When Bryce first estimated it, he thought we'd be able to open road cut them and just go through them. And so that boring has added a lot of cost.
A lot of cost, yeah.
So are we going to take action on this tonight?
We'd like to, so we can get going on our CIB and get our landowners of the well rights paid before we lose it. So what I'd like to propose is, I know Bryce is still doing a couple of reference checks, so my proposal would be is that we accept the low bid contingent upon the engineer doing those reference checks.
Okay. I'll make that. I propose that we give HMH Excavating the contract $1,302,272.84, contingent on Bryce getting...
Well, did you go check out there?
So there's some referrals. That part of the bid deal is you have to submit referrals, and so the engineer calls referrals to make sure that it's legit, and then like going through making sure that the company can get the bond, they can do all the stuff. So that's kind of what he's been checking on. And I know I talked to him probably, I don't know, 5:30 tonight. A lot of their references are contractors. They work out of town, and sometimes they're out where cell service just doesn't work. So that's right. So, okay.
So are you Craig's boy?
No, that's Cody, my cousin. I'm Ralph's son.
Oh, okay.
So my dad is Ralph. He's passed away, and then Cody's Craig's son.
I worked with Craig years ago with George.
I had a shovel with his boot shoved halfway at my butt screaming, you know. I can run a shovel. Just so you guys know, we got our bond in place, so the bonding is...
Okay, so I had the motion by Paul and second by Russell to accept an HMH excavation for and $1,302,272.84. Contingent on the engineering references. So we'll go.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Next is a notary charge for services. We're getting a lot of people coming in and wanting notary services. We got one individual from Spring City that comes in quite often and is like 6 or 7 notaries deals. So talking to Jeannie has taken a lot of her time. We haven't been charging for those. So talking to her a little bit, what I'd like to see us maybe do is propose, I'm just throwing it out there, we'd have to do some type of an official policy, but I'd like to see us have a notary service be free for Mount Pleasant citizens and those outside of our city limits that we charge for notary service. So I'm just throwing it out there for you guys' thoughts, and then we'd have to come up with an ordinance to approve that all the way. But what your guys' thoughts would be.
Yeah, I think we owe it to the citizens to do a free service, but out of towners.
Yeah. I just feel like some of the out of towners are really abusing us.
What's the goal of charges on that there?
It's not that much. But I'd have to make it.
Trying to think, well, I paid for one.
It's like $5 a lot of times. $2, $5.
Depends. $5 not paid.
But the gentleman that keeps coming in usually has 6 or 7 pages he needs notarized at the time. I have a brand new book. I've only gotten like 3 pages, and he is over half of the ones I've notarized in it. So he just comes in constantly with all these pages.
And then goes
to charge $5. Yeah. Okay, I just felt like, you know, it should be free for our citizens, taxpayers, but I don't think we should keep having to help those that's not being part of the city or paying for stuff that way. So we'll go ahead and adopt a policy on that, or where we can charge something, but that way. All right, Main Street trees.
Shane.
What?
It says to be announced. I'm announcing you're doing it.
Oh. You got a paper or? Well, make sure I'm telling, right? Oh, okay. So. Okay, so as you know, we've been working with Deseret Trees, and Dave's worked with them a lot on this, because I think this is coming out of beautification, or Main Street.
Yeah, community economic development.
Yeah. So what we're looking at doing is, like, I don't know if you guys noticed, and we talked about it, we talked about it quite a bit, actually. All the trees here on Main Street, we're looking at, we already have a bunch of those removed. Some of them were diseased, some of them were just dead, some of them were just getting too big. And as you can see, the sidewalk and everything's starting to swell and all that from the roots and all that. We're having issues with the watering system. Some of the trees are growing into the electrical system. So it's been nothing but a headache. And so what we're proposing is to go ahead and remove the trees and put some concrete, some nice planters in place.
Like Ephraim's.
Yeah, and we sit by Cat Deseret do the job. And he says he can jump on this as soon as they get back from Garkane. They're doing some work down there for them. And so we got the cost covered. As you can see, and so it's just, we want to get the go-ahead going.
And Mont also had was concerned with it being Main Street, so we did have Natalie go to the Main Street Committee, and they were all very accepting.
Yeah, we went through the proper channels to go through that.
That was just what I was going to say, is that the fellow from Desert Trees came to the Main Street Committee and made a presentation, and we had an extensive discussion, and the project was unanimously approved by the Main Street Committee.
I mean, as you know, the trees that are there aren't the greatest.
I think it's a little greater myself.
Yeah.
They lifted the sidewalks up and cracked them, and the roots and everything.
I mean, the public works deal with it a lot more than we do, but, you know, we yeah, so they take them down, level it out and everything, and put some nice planter boxes.
They'll put the planter boxes?
But the planter boxes are not included in this.
No, they're not included. This is just
right. He said
he's going to get a bid on what.
Do we have money, Dave, for your
petition? I have money for this. I wish he had got to me before the money for what I would say is the finished product of this. You're kind of phase two.
Yeah, we can do it as phases two.
Sure.
That's not it.
I think there's some grant money that's been approved for it too, hasn't there?
For which?
For the trees project.
I don't need grant money for this first part, but I don't know what phase two is going to come in on.
So do you think, I don't know, one thing that hit me is like, can we have our public works guys take out the trees where they're not really in power lines, or I mean, if we got them partway down and let them take the stumps out, I don't know. Would it save us money or would it not?
I know, me personally, this is just my opinion, so take it what it's worth, but I don't know if you guys noticed all the trees they took out at Wasatch, by the old gym, all that. They trimmed all the trees clear on there from Maine up, and I thought they did a great job.
They did.
They do a great job, and so I, that's why we was just like, hey, just give them the work.
I guess my worst concern is if we have enough money to do the next phase, because that's, I guess that's my concern. If we take out all these trees and we don't have money to do the next phase, then, then there they are. Or if we should go in and just take out the dead trees right now and see if we can get the grant money to do the planter boxes, you know, so we've got, so we're all the way complete instead of just.
There is some beautification grants out there. I know there is.
Yeah.
So, because we're looking at doing one of the power plant.
So where that would be my only concern, you know, if we do, there's a lot of those trees, like you say, they're dead and they need to come out. The sick ones are like the thing, if we went in and took out those right now. I don't know, is that a help or not? I don't know, but I hate taking them all out without being able to see the final product come.
Mark said that MPNHA has some money available, some grant money that they would be willing to put into this project. How much, he didn't say.
Well, and then not
having a historical Main Street.
Yeah, not having a cost on what those planter boxes would run us, or, you know. I guess that's my concern.
So the second phase of the tree is the south end. We haven't got to trim the trees to the south.
On State?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. Oh, that's it. We're going to do that in stages. We only was able to get pull out enough money to do this north side. And then we're going to start hitting the south side next year, working our way down. Because I have them working on our power lines right now when they come in. Thank God they did those. We would have been in a heck of a worse mess than we were with that early snowstorm.
Yeah, with that.
But that's what we're proposing. And I don't know what
that's. You guys have?
I haven't seen one of the planters, what they're planning on.
I haven't either. I don't know if anybody really does, or the cost of those, or.
I don't know the cost. I know it's a concrete planter. We talked about putting spike things in that the whoever waters the flowers can just fill those little spike things, and it waters through those, and we can do away with the sprinkler systems up under the sidewalks and eliminate a lot of headache.
They're...
I kind of feel like you, as small as those trees are, I don't see why the public work guys can't just cut them down and put them in the chopper. I don't know.
So like I said, I don't know if we're going to take them all out right now, or we're just going to do the dead ones until we get...
Do the dead ones.
Until we get our final design of the planter boxes and everything? I just don't know.
Like I said, he could come back. They're going to be coming back in November. And so they can get going on this if that's something that the council wants them to do or whatever. Or if you want to see what the planter boxes look like and what the full bid comes in as. But...
They're probably going to be cheap with the price of cement. But something needs to be done. I agree that the trees need to go on Main Street.
Well, I think they'd clean it up with the Metroscape lights we have too, you know, because some of those trees are so big you can't. I mean, your light, where it comes down and shines out, it's not able to go out where it should for how we designed that because the tree's too big. Especially the ones right here in front of the city hall.
Those that's good, those that are still alive, is there any way we can take them up and plant them elsewhere?
It'd cost you so much, it wouldn't be worth it.
I just wonder, they got that big old machine that goes down, spooks them.
But you don't have a very big area around them without breaking out the sidewalk.
The tree guy told us when he was here that there's a blight that's in almost every one of these trees. And if you want to dig them up, put them somewhere else, you'll just carry that light wherever that goes. He said that it's serious enough that when they take those trees down, they won't even let people burn them for firewood.
She had a hard time on that.
That's kind of crazy to me, but...
Yeah, it's...
we've got a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I know when... The extension, when Matt Palmer came out and walked with Coulter, he said the salt even could be part of what's killing them.
It could, yeah.
The salt they use on the highway, then we snow plow it off and it's hitting the tree roots that way.
Well, this would be approximately $15,000 if we let them come in and do it.
Yeah.
And that might be worth it to us, I don't know.
I think they can do it in 4 days. 3 to 4 days, honestly. Are they going to ground the stumps down too? Pretty cool to go. They're going to ground the stumps down and get it deep level with the sidewalk. Cap the electric and all that stuff. Cap the sprinklers so the water sits in the water. Okay. Yeah, so do all that power plugs and shut boxes.
Sounds like a pretty good deal.
They haul it all down to the sewer ponds. Dump it off there.
Well, I'm with Paul. I think we ought to go ahead and approve it and get it done.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I do too. That way we want to do Christmas stuff. Well, we already got bowls we're going to be putting up on the light poles.
And a banner.
And a whole bunch of other stuff. These guys got
so the low metal grates will go, and that plane will just go right over the grates. Is that how they
go?
Yeah. Okay, so I don't want to be negative on this, but how are we going to, where the trees are right now, for wintertime, how are we going to keep people from falling in those holes in the grates? That's a concern I have.
That's a good concern.
I mean, we're going to go in and we're going to take these trees out, we're going to take all this out, and then we're going to end up with those holes where the trees have been on those grates.
So it's the sidewalk
till we're
done?
Until it, yeah.
You got any old grading up there at the shop, Coulter? You cut?
No, but I can get, see what I can get some flat steel for it.
If you had some old grade, you cut and set in there.
Yeah, that'd have to fit just like.
Yeah, that'd fit perfect, that's what I say, you'd have to cut it to fit it in there.
I mean, that just hit me just now, it's like, okay, that's gonna create another problem.
Yeah, if you cut something to put. Replace those grates with it.
Well.
That's where if we had the planter boxes approved and when you went in the same place the grates was, that's where it'd be nice to be able to do the whole project.
Well, they could probably do it in sections too, take so many trees out and then come back in and order so much cement, fill them in, stamp the cement, you know.
Are they precast boxes?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard on what kind of boxes they are.
How many are you talking?
There's quite a few.
Now they weren't gonna replace every single one of those trees with the planter.
Yeah, not every single tree is gonna have it. I mean, it's gonna be like every three trees and then a planter, so.
Maybe we oughta get a little better idea of what they're gonna do and what it'll take.
Must love some grant money.
Yeah, it might be good that way too. Does it have to be done right now? I know you'll have to put Christmas lights on there.
All right, we'll make it happen. It don't matter to me, we'll do whatever. We're used to it.
They love putting up Christmas lights, don't let them fool you.
I mean, there's three or four in there for sure right now, it'll be gone for sure.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It is. But yeah, so we can get it.
Yeah, we gotta take care of those holes.
Yeah.
Do you fill full gravel?
Right now, we should be able to.
Yeah, do them full rotation or something.
But it's.
Wondering what little kids are gonna throw the rocks around.
We need to put in like rotate sand.
Yeah.
Right there for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can level it up with sand.
Just so, yeah, sometimes one trip over, but you're put in there, so.
Once that sand freezes, nobody will get it out of there till spring.
Well, there's not a lot of kids that go down Bay Street playing the sand anyway, so. I think that's probably the answer.
On North Side, you'd be on.
We'd go ahead and do it, then just fill holes up with sand.
Yeah.
We could do that ourselves. That takes care of your problem, player.
And whatever, just.
Isn't it simple when we work together and get all of it? We can just work these things out.
Yeah. Just like I said, that just barely hit me though. It's like I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. I think that'll work.
Yeah.
What do you think, Glenn?
I think so.
I haven't heard you make a proposal yet.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we'll go with the desert tree work for $3,250 per day.
Not to exceed.
Not to exceed what?
15.5 days.
Should be 16th in the 5 day, or 16, what would it be, 16, 2,000, I mean, I can't really put my glasses on.
Maybe like I said, I think they can do it in 4 days.
Maybe 250.
They're pretty fast.
Yeah, I think they can keep it under 10.
If they go to 5 days, it'd be $16,250.
Let's see.
They'll be able to go right along down there, so I think they can do it.
So what do they have to take the stump out? Do they have a grinder?
Yeah.
They'll fit down in. That's all there is.
They said they have different stuff, different sizes and stuff, so.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That'd be good.
And then they'll cap the water and pull out the plugs and all that. Right now we told them there's no power in those lights whatsoever.
You hope not, right?
They're all there because there's some plugs that just get to kick over. We have to fix, but
you just go down Travis one and see.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you know what it's like.
You know where my hair went.
Yeah, that's most by Lynn, who's my second.
I like to fill that bug.
I'll second it.
Got to get a high.
And the motion by Lynn, second by Paul, to approve for Deseret Tree Works to go up to $16,250 to remove trees along Main Street. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes. Okay.
While we're on that tree,
yeah, you can go.
While we're on the tree subject, I just want to kind of give you a heads up on what's going on. Colin talked to the mayor about it the other day where we had an issue out here on Highway 89 where the trees were growing over the power lines and they were intertwined. And Deseret Trees was taking this side off, but a branch broke over here and came down on the line. And it could have seriously injured someone. Luckily, they had their stuff on and they knew what they were doing. Blew the main fuse out here by the drive-in. And so what we ended up doing is just killing that whole line. I didn't want to take the chance of jeopardizing their life or any of my guys' lives. And so we just killed it. Christensen was pretty upset, but I'm like, dude, it's come down to a safety thing when it's something like that. So they hurry and cleared everything. We killed it, grounded it. They hurry and cleared everything that was going over the line. And then we got the power back on, and they were able to clean on the sides and stuff. And so that squall that goes right there on that turn right before Gravel Pit Road, I wish they'd just take that whole side along that. It'd look better. But we took out close to 30 trees right there, and I was talking to Dawn. I'm like, we'd be willing to, you know, plant a few trees. The fire department said if we took out so many, but we put in trees that were line friendly. So that might be coming up come spring. We made sure that they killed the stumps. You know, they're going to go in and grind those out next year. So that's the situation we had this last week. Another thing we got going on with trees is they went up and they actually injected the R10 chemical for the beetle bug, the bark bug, up at Power Plant Park because those trees are becoming affected. There is some trees that have that. We went up there with the extension office up with Nick and looked at those, and beetles working their way down. They're already in the park right there, and we don't want to lose those trees. And so Public Works, they already, I forgot to tell Coulter, they're not winterizing yet. But we took the water truck up there and watered that one side, and they treated six trees. So what they did is they used this air eject formula. And so they shoot the air with the air, this formula in there. And so when then it goes throughout the tree sucks up the water, and sucks up this chemical. And so when the bark bug comes in, it will kill the bark bug when they first, you know, come active in spring again. And so that's why he said you got to do it between the fall and the run before the 1st of January. Well, that's the time frame to get hit. And so we're hoping to get a few more trees. We had to work some more chemical for it. And so hopefully we can save those trees up there. I don't know what else to really do. It's kind of a call on my side. But we was able to keep it under the threshold, the cost-wise. So
are they still saying that like every other one needs to come out, or because I know that's what you said a year ago or something that way?
No, talking to Nick and the gentleman that was up there with us, we think we could thin them out and it would really help out, because what they're doing, they're so big, they're growing in each other. We could thin them out. I think it would help them tremendously. But the ones that do have the beetle in them, we have to totally remove those and get them out of there before that beetle comes, the larva comes back alive before spring. And so we'll bring that to the council. And I told Colt to this, we bring it to the council if we're going to take any trees out of there. So you guys are aware of that up there. So But we're trying to do what we can to save what we can. And the same one, we'll try to get going on. I think the north end of town looks great now. They did a good job. We did offer to plant some trees for people that we took out, but it has to come down to they got to take care of them. That's not going to be the city's responsibility. So if they're going to take care of the tree, we'll be willing to plant the tree. And Jeannie found a thing, bless her heart. Back in 1994, there was a resolution that was adopted by the fire department that we was going to be planting a lot of trees. And so I feel like since we take a lot of trees out, it's probably our duty to plant trees. And so,
Swat Cemetery, did he check the trees out there?
Yeah, I went out looking on those ones. That big silver maple by the Veterans Memorial is sick. And we're going to try to get a couple more years out of it at least. That's what we called and talked to Claudia about it. We will eventually lose that silver maple by the Veterans Memorial.
That's the hardest tree to grow in Mount Pleasant.
And talking with Matt Palmer too, he said, silver maple, some people plant them and they grow great, and other people plant them and they get sick and die. So
mine grow up, grow nice and tall, and then all of a sudden, zap,
they're dead.
I'm like a Quakey.
Wow.
I just think it would be nice if we take these out, if we could replace them with something. Because there are so many trees now that have been removed from the cemetery.
That's exactly.
A lot. So if there's something we could...
I'd like to find some kind of a dwarf variety that isn't going to grow big, make big messes, but will still look really pretty.
Yeah.
And dealing with, I don't know if you guys know John Johnson, who we had to deal with. He was a very interesting fellow. We was able to talk him into going 20 feet on each side. Usually we go 10 feet on the power lines. And that's why we was going to plant some more trees, dwarf trees for him. And so we're willing to do that with anybody on State Street or something like that. If they want to, we would take a tree down and we plant a tree, but it's got to become the customer's responsibility to do that. But I agree with you. Out to the park, we definitely got to do something out there. The park, cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some of those trees out at the park that, you know, it scares me when the wind comes. And that's why we're hoping with this grant we can put quite a bit more money into the park and bring it back to life and put everything underground and put some nice lights and security cameras and all that stuff out there and bring it. I mean, we got one park here in Mount Pleasant. Let's take care of it, you know. So, and then the power plant park. I remember when I was a kid going up there, my parents go over to the temple, and I didn't know where we were at. You know, I had no idea. I know my little sister's babysitting us. But when I first started here, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been here before. This is where I rode on the little car, got a car that swinged it, went there. We spent the whole day there, and I thought that was awesome. So I'd like to bring something like that back, if we can, and, you know, so we're working on it.
Awesome.
Thanks,
buddy.
Grab old tomato on that stuff. Daddy Orleans, Grandpa, he made those old swings and stuff.
That was fun and heck.
Yeah.
Well, he made it.
Yeah.
I know it was an old light pole, you know.
Yeah.
Next thing on the agenda is the VEP Tax Committee. I sent you all an email. Hope you got it, Paul. And the VEP Tax, if not, I'll make you a copy. Stephanie gave me, it's been, a week ago?
Probably a
while. Well, you was on, it was when you guys were up here, and you guys were on your trip, because you responded to me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably 2 weeks ago I sent it to everybody. I emailed it to you on the VEP Tax, what we can do with it. The biggest thing is that you've got to be starting to think of a committee. With the VEP Tax, we have a committee of 5 members. Usually there's at least one city councilman that sits with that committee.
That's not a voting type deal, so anybody that wants to do a project, I think a lot of our projects probably have to go towards our park and different things for the next few years. But, so like, our arts council or somebody could submit for, do a project, and then we'd take money out of what we took for this rap tax and be able to fund that project.
So do we have to have a committee?
We have to have a committee to...
Disperse it.
Disperse it. So like, if you want to apply for it, yeah, it's kind of like planning and zoning, it's the best way I'm going to say.
I was just thinking that we could use it for this part for the next couple of years, to form a committee, but if we got to have a committee...
We ought to ask Fairview what they do, because I don't know what they've got, I think that... I know we've talked to Ephraim, we've talked to Santaquin, that's the two cities we've really been dealing with, and Stephanie's done a great job with doing this, and you know, kind of what we can do in the committee and stuff, so that... Part of that is, though, is that we got to have a committee so that if there's another entity that wants to try and apply for some money, I'm going to say like the 4-H, if the 4-H wanted a deal and we thought it was a significant project to do in our city, then we could help fund that type deal.
Yeah,
so,
I just...
As far as I know, we have to have the committee.
That was part of...
Yeah. And I know Ephraim...
If you get two applications, who's going to determine which one has more?
Right. I know Ephraim, when they approved their rap tax, they had it already outlined that so much, a certain percentage was going to parks, a certain percent was going to recreation, a certain percent was going to art. We did not approve ours that way. So ours is open to where we can shuffle it around however we want to. But we do need to be starting thinking of people that we could invite to be on that committee.
Do you put it in the paper?
You don't have to.
We, just for volunteers is what you're saying. Yeah. I asked Natalie, and I haven't seen if she's got the November one. I asked her, I know, one time to see if we could get this in our newsletter, to see if there'd be people that would volunteer.
Volunteer for the rap tax committee. Yeah. You probably so, have to explain to them what it is.
Right. So we need to, if you know of anybody, would you please give us a name or suggestion, or talk to them and see if they'd be willing to be on that rap tax committee? Because we'd like to get it going here fairly close to the first of the year, is what we're hoping to do. We'll know then how much money we've had.
So brought in the Asian Orchard Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like I said, a lot of it probably is going to have to go to help with our park for the first few years. We are also asking, I know we asked Tyler before and something fell through his cracks. We've asked Tyler at Six County to look at a grant for us to do a study on an impact fee for our park. So that's another thing we're looking at to do along with this rap tax, because if we could get I hate doing an impact study and then we waste all the money we'll take in for X amount of years, you know, on that off the impact fee just to pay for that study. So that's what we're hoping we can get some grant money from Six County. But so yeah, if anybody knows anything, please ask people or let us know so we can ask them. Public participation. Claudia.
Because I haven't been here for the last couple of meetings, so I'm sure you've missed Pam and I not being here.
We did have one 2 weeks ago.
Well, I just have a couple of things to go with you. Last Sunday, there was this loud pop that happened, and our powder went out in our neighborhood. And after about an hour, Pam texted me and said, "Do you have power?" And I said, "No, it's been off for about an hour." And she said, "Well, her neighbor, who is Susan Wiske, called her and said that it looked like a limb of her tree had fallen and had maybe even fallen on a power line. And so who do we call?" And so she said, "Do you know who we call?" I said, "Well, let me look at the city website." So I went onto your webpage and I, maybe I saw where I'm looking, but I went everywhere. I'm looking for, who do you call if it's power or water and it's on a weekend or after hours? And I couldn't find a number. And I finally went to the police department and saw the San P County Dispatch 911 or a non-emergency number. And I said, well, come try this number and see if that helps. So she called me back and she said, Shane is on it. And he called her and thanked her for letting her know that we were without power. So my question is, why did that trigger somewhere that we were without power? Because apparently it was just our area. And secondly, why don't we have numbers that we know that we can call somebody when it's a water or a power problem after hours or on the weekend? And before I finish, let me, he's not, he left, but we wanted to thank Shane because as soon as he found out about the problem, he was on it. And we had power immediately, but we were without power for over 2 hours, and it didn't seem like anybody knew about it. Or how do we tell anybody about it? So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. What's the protocol? Do you want to send me a release letter on who we call or how we call? None of your numbers are listed. The only numbers are City Hall. And your email address is, I emailed Paul before and he didn't even know I'd emailed you. And apparently he didn't know your email from from Mike. So that's not a good communication system. How do we address that? So I just
if you call the City Hall number, immediately it says that this is a power outage or a water, dial this number. Just dial like 6 or 9.
But that needs to be said in there then. If it's a power problem or a water problem, call City Hall and get the number you call. That seems a little...
It doesn't give you a number. You call and you push the button and it sends you directly,
to the person on call.
You go directly to the person on call.
So you just always call the City Hall number and send it right to the person on call.
So if it's a power emergency, you push one, it goes straight to the
person
on call.
Just one if it's first question. Well, anyway, Shane, thank you for getting us power on Sunday because we didn't know what to do. We heard a loud pop. Apparently, we're the only ones that were back.
Well, dispatch called me.
Well, we called dispatch. We didn't know where to call.
You called me. We're not registering number
2456.
So do what now?
Even this new chat widget's supposed to work too. So if you pull up like a website, as you can see, your city can now chat, text, or email.
Okay.
That's supposed to work too. The internet's just not everywhere or something. It's not working.
Okay, but just call City Hall then.
Yeah.
Yep. Just the regular City Hall.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll know that in the future. The other thing, two other things. One is I still don't see Dogs on a Leash. Houghton Cemetery, and there's still a lot of us that walk our dogs out there, and I think that it's still a problem for people who see no dogs allowed.
There are goggles, those signs are gone.
They are?
Yeah, I took them down personally. You can't.
Have the new ones?
I haven't got no new ones, but I took the old ones down. So.
Awesome. Thank you. And the last one I have is we have heard that Aspen Village is not going to get painted this year, and they've waited a long, long time. We sat in meetings, Pam and I both here, and it was going to be done September. You're just waiting for finalization of your grant money. So what can you tell me about what's happening with Aspen Village? Those poor people up there still without
love. We've got the grant, but we didn't get it in time for the season.
So part of the problem we had up there, Claudia, is we had purchased a lot and we did not get the title to this lot. We got the title finally a week ago to this lot, which is going to catch all the drainage. We had to have that lot to finish our grant, to move forward with our grant. Otherwise, it would be about a $300,000, well, $200,000 change order to do a drainage system. What this lot does is give us a lot so all the water can run off this asphalt into a catch basin that we're making. So that's one of the biggest reasons why we couldn't proceed with the grant money when it became available, is because we didn't own that lot that we're using as a catch basin.
Did you know that prior?
We have been working on that for over a year to get that lot.
Oh, wow.
So we have been working on that.
What notification has been given to those property owners up there that it's not going to happen this year? Have you reached out to them?
I don't think we have. We have talked about going in and grading it again and graveling it to get it through the winter.
I think that would be a good thing.
Because we need to do that.
Good thing. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you, Shane, again for awesome, and we'll know how to do that in the future.
And then asphalt roll, they can make it decent internally. I thought that too when I was up there before.
On the Aspen Village too, is there any leeway for some, I know we've been looking at lights up there, it's awful dark at night. I am working on some quotes for poles and directory poles and solar lights, so you don't have to run wires. We've had the solar light up for a shop for 3 years now, and it's been working great. So it's kind of been a test fight for us if we really want to buy in on it. But now that technology's getting better and better, so I wonder if that was probably the route to go, and the cost is coming down with buying on those solar lights. And so that's kind of what we're looking for. Hopefully the council or sometime will have that requisition for you. If there's some money out of the grant, we can put toward that grade. If not, then, you know.
We still have to probably match the grant about 50%.
Do we? Okay. I was wondering about that.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be in the scope, so you wouldn't have to use it for that.
Yeah.
The other pocket.
Well, we'll see what these quotes come in as. So. Because there's a few other people, customers that ask me about the lights too, and so.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be some street lights up there because that would get out of place.
How long does the lights, some solar lights last? I mean.
Like I said, we've had it up for 3 years. Haven't had a problem. It comes on every night. Pulls off. What it does, it comes on at 80%. And then it, after a while, shuts down to 30%. And then if it sees motion or anything, then it goes back up 80%. And so that's what's kind of nice, because then you're saving your batteries when it's going down 30%. But I know these lights out here, these Metroscapes, we have them set at midnight. They go down to 40%. You know, they come on when they first come on at 80%. We have only set for 80%. At midnight, you come around, you got them at 40%. We're thinking about even taking them down even further, because it really isn't that much of a difference in light.
Do these have the same sensor to upgrade as you walk by?
Yeah. So we could get these solar lights retrofitted with what's called the Ubiquia photocell, so we can actually control these photo lights if we wanted to do that. The same as what we want to do on our street lights and stuff. Because that's a lot of our load is just lights. And so that's what we're trying to change out while we can.
I know we've switched them out there at the hospital, and I love those.
Oh, and they made a world of difference in your power bill, too.
Yeah, just where they come on, that's so nice. Yep. Somebody pulls in there, it brightens up automatically for them, and yep. Then it dims back down.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I was just wondering, because I want to put one in my backyard. Well, I got a little one back there right now, but it's so darn dim. Something will set off my camera back there, and it's not bright enough so I can see at night what's setting off the camera.
I bought one and put one out to my pig pens out there, and dude, it's awesome. I love it.
They are. They are. I just wonder if they had it. This one's been up there for 3 or 4 years too, and it's still working.
Yeah.
They go dimmer over time, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, council reports. Lynn.
Okay, football's almost done. She's been kind of got delayed with these snowstorms and stuff, trying to make up some, but hopefully it'll be about done this week. We got signups for men's basketball, junior jazz, co-ed volleyball, and co-ed indoor soccer. And anyhow, then she's been helping student Larry Aiden. We've got the soccer field and the park and everything aerated. So anyhow, that's what we got on that. But when we got you guys here, we know we got problems. And we've got some, I don't know, how could we do, should we, I mean, we've got an employee that actually says that she just assumed getting a car accident because she's rather than come to work. So, I mean, as far as personnel problems, we've got some things happening. And so, I don't know, are we going to do some closed door sessions or should we have us a work meeting? I mean, we've got some, you know, we've got some problems we've talked before. So I want to hear from you guys kind of what you think we need to do, because we need to fix it. Probably don't deserve this stuff, so.
Well, I don't know all what the problems are, but be a dog public and the one that works for the employees, I would do everything I could to keep everybody employed. If we have to do training or whatever we have to do in order to help these guys, but I just don't want to see it get to a point where anybody goes.
That's the way I feel. I don't like closed meetings. I think a work meeting would be much better. If we could discuss personnel in a work meeting.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
Then I would suggest we do
it. Well, if we're going to do it, we want all 5 minutes here.
Right.
But that's where I am with it. I don't want to see anybody. I mean, if it's flagrant, if there's some flagrant and everything, and it comes to that point, then you got to do what you got to do. But everybody's livelihood, we're all trying to, you know, just make a living and take care of our families. Well,
and that's exactly, because I know exactly what it was.
We've got to get this
taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got things that's, and I mean,
we can get together and pound our heads to see what we can do to help the situation.
Exactly.
We've got to, and we, like I say, this is.
But that's along with the supervisors and whoever it involves. And I've said on one of those before, the supervisor and the employee. So, and I think we just.
I think it ought to be the whole department, both, all the departments, not just the public works, not just the power. I think every one of the city employees.
Let's lay it all out.
Everybody.
I think that might be a good thing, get everybody in here and just say, it's open.
I am so tired of this.
I am too. I mean, and there's just, and games, it goes off all the time. I mean,
all of us get worked out.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Can we get it on the next agenda, Jeannie? Closed session.
I don't know if that'd be the way to solve it, if you want to get that out in the open.
Well, we don't need the public involved. No, we can have it right here. We can bring everybody in, employees meeting or whatever, try to get it arranged so we're all able to be here, the council and the mayor, in the evening sometime, and ask the employees and get us all in here and air it out.
I'm just tired.
Well,
I just
wish we could all open our minds a little bit and listen to each other's problems and make compromises. That's all it takes. Compromise.
Yeah. Well, I said extend an olive branch. Everybody, just extend an olive branch and let's see if we can't work it out together and just get by this so that we can get back, because we don't want anything going to the public anymore. They've been enough.
No, but they deserve to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. If we have problems, they need to be addressed.
Because, I mean, that needs to happen. But we've got employees that are this unhappy, and the way things are, we are not doing their jobs they need to be done. And that's the pure fact.
Then let's,
and it's, it was for my deal. I get shoved out the cemetery. I have no tools, no trucks, and nothing. Could do a whole bunch more.
Well, that's something that needs to be worked out too.
It does.
Yeah. That's something that needs to be worked out too.
And I don't know, I mean, we wasted 2 hours because they changed the lock on the sewer pond down there to get in. And why?
get trees and stuff down there.
We're getting garbage.
Well, okay, well, so we get a couch or something. We bring a, I mean, why can't I have a key or nobody else? And I mean,
I'm sorry, Len.
But still, the still thing of it is, we get a couch, we can take those dumpsters, we can take the load and throw one in. We haven't got that much garbage down there. So, I mean, you know, I mean, all these trees and stuff that's right down, people needs to deserve to have a place to take it, I think. Because if they don't, they're throwing in washes, they're taking it by the power plant.
We get a council letter too, you open that up to the public, just wide open, and then we got.
Right, but I'm saying, we've had it before.
Yeah.
I mean, and if everybody be careful.
Well, we have the tree up and everything, so, but.
No, but I mean, most, it's been, there's been a clevis on there for about a year.
Yeah, I know.
And so, I mean, and I think that, you know, people needs to be able to get in there that's responsible. But, you know.
I seen somebody going down there with the load the other morning, and I wondered.
And that's what scares me, because when they get them loaded, where do they end up if they don't end up there?
Well, I hope they take it down the landfill.
But if it's closed, I mean, 90% of the time, some of these guys are gonna say, ah, there's a wash, and that's where.
That's a catch 22, like I say, if you own that.
It's as bad as all the couches and stuff, though.
Well, I mean, if we get a couch and stuff, and I've picked up plenty of them along the roads and everything else. And so, I mean, you know, I feel like if there's a couch down there, we can put it aside. We don't encourage them, but my God, if we get a dumpster, we can still throw it back in. I better have it.
I guess what I'd say is we don't just make a public invitation to everybody to take their dumps down there.
But.
We still control it like we have that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, that's just something that needs to be done and stuff, so. And then also, I need a report from the mayor, like what's been done, like the people that's been hired back. For instance, like me and Jack. And like our back pain stuff.
You have to turn us in.
Well, it's there.
You have to turn in what you've earned, and then you have to sign the affidavit saying that's all you earned.
Okay.
And I told you that.
I've never seen nothing about having no affidavit.
You have to go and talk to Jeannie will have you sign the paper, and you state what you earned while you was off.
Was Kevin sending you that affidavit?
You're supposed to have.
Okay. I thought when we approved it, when we voted for back pay.
Yeah. But anything he's earned has to come out of what back pay.
That's state code.
That's state code.
Yeah.
And he has to sign stating that that's all he earned.
Okay, just so we get these back pay.
Well, that
and get your raise?
Yes.
That raise voted on too?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still, I need some, you know, I mean, yeah.
Sounds like to me things are coming together. Let's all work to.
Well, how long's it been?
Well, I didn't know that. I told you the Monday morning we met at the swimming pool that you needed to get a receipt of everything that you had earned and turn it in. And then Kevin told me that we had to have you sign the.
Right, and I didn't get to me, so.
So.
Let's do the negotiations. Let's work together. Let's work it out. Get it done. And let's get this behind us and get back to being.
Please.
Yep.
Yeah, let's get it. Like I said, the less we take out to the public, the better off we are.
Well, I know, and this is some of the questions. Yeah. So how long do we meet? Do we keep people like on light duty?
Until their doctor releases them to regular duty.
Yeah, but like, you know, I mean, in our policy and stuff, what is one of the policies that says if they can't do their job? I mean, we can't keep them on light duty forever.
If they're on light duty and you let them go, you'd be in a lawsuit with the APA.
I've always thought it was up to the supervisor. The supervisor can kind of direct
them. I mean, because, yeah, is there certain.
The thing that bothers me about light duty, if a guy comes back and gets hurt again while he's on light duty, that's a lot more trouble.
That's why I think he needs to be working underneath the supervisor. The supervisor could tell him what to do.
What he can and cannot do.
There's got to be an end to it somewhere.
Yeah, it's gotta be a natural to it, it does.
But we also have to be careful digging in and stuff like that, because it's also a HIPAA violation.
Yep. As long as he's working to do it, if you adjust the workload to where he's doing jobs that he can do, it's not just sitting around on his dock, then.
Correct.
Then, you know.
The way I saw it, it was at the bottom.
Yeah, that's kind of a different.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean.
Okay.
And we got, you got that policy that, so what about our policy? Our handbook that says if a person can't do the task, they can be let go. Health wise.
That's different than on the doctor's note. There's two different things there. If the person's on the doctor's note, you can't release them, but if a person gets to a certain age or you can't perform the work, then that's where that falls underneath.
Same to me. Okay, that's about all I have tonight.
Okay, Paul?
This is, I don't know whether to report this here or the RDA, but the sewer's done. The only thing I've got to get back in it, I made one little mistake, but Kohler's going to help me fix. But it works really good, so. The flower beds, do we have these guys clean them out?
We do that.
The one up here to the library and the one at the cemetery. And I want to compliment the public work. You've done a great job on the water line.
Thank you, Paul.
Been really good. The only question I have, why didn't you bore the lateral?
It was just a double chip.
Oh, it's just a double chip seal, was it?
A double chip. The patch is better than the whole road.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Russ?
I don't have a lot. I talked to Brittany up there. There's a lot going on at the pool. Gonna have to do a plaster job on it eventually. Start the chip and coal up. And I think that's the boiler also. The plaster job that she got a bid here for that was $131,000. That's right now. But she said that she figured we might be all right for a year.
She's also on the agenda to come to discuss this next month.
Okay. She's on vacation. I've never been to the conference. It's not this week.
She's back. Either today or tomorrow she's back.
Well, the boiler, they're keeping that boiler running up there, but it's another issue we're left with that. And
I honestly think that was probably barely sized when it was built.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it a used boiler they put in there?
No, I just think it was undersized or barely, not necessarily undersized, but right maxed out. The boiler was maxed out for the size of the pool it is.
Yeah. So when I was up there visiting with them, they did a rescue there in the pool. That was interesting to watch that. That's final rescue. They put the person on the board and floated and everything. The lifeguards done a good job. And the young boys done a pretty darn good job at it. No, they was in there practicing, a couple of young lifeguards, and she had it through the dummy to the bottom of the pool. And they went down and got it, brought it up, put it on the backboard, floated it over to the bank, pulled it out.
Awesome.
It was pretty good. She's doing one heck of a job. With the boiler, the Stallings just give a bid off the boiler, that'd be $162,000. Just about $163,000 for a boiler of the right size. Mm. So, they got all that we're looking at up there in the next year or so. All that. And then I was talking to Brian Pearson, and I don't know if you know what he's putting in out there, but that is some awful cool stuff that they're doing.
Let's see that.
He does these hospital air barriers, like the gurneys and stuff, and they slide them off the onto the x-ray table, the back over, where they're like a hockey table. They're all there. And the patient, they just, you don't have to lift them or nothing else. They just slide them over and set them on them. It's unbelievable. He was at the house last night. He's my nephew. And so I had to dig it up and show me. He said that they'd up in Salt Lake, so this is tax revenue we're looking at here. $60,000 a piece. They've sold 300 of them already.
The trouble is most of them go to hospital, which are...
Yeah, they
tax exempt.
Yeah. So we don't get no tax money.
We don't get no tax money off of them because all the hospitals are tax exempt. They're not for profit, most of them.
Well, I just rubbed the fingers through that real quick. Yeah. That's $18 billion.
Yeah.
But he's concerned about some of the buildings that's going up, you know, that people are building them and then putting them up for rent. So he got some concerns about that being a viable business coming in out there about his, you know, what kind of shipping are we going to have, access and everything, and you know, things like that. So, but that was really irritating. They've got two or three different things that are just blow your mind what they're inventing for the hospital. They got one for brain surgery.
So there you are.
That's all going to be made out here. Yeah.
Right.
The brain surgery deal is a chair that they set in and that sucker floats and lays back so that you don't have to move the patient. The patient is always stable. And everything that folds out into a bed, the whole works.
I know it's my tech medical stuff.
Yeah, it's some cool, cool stuff that's going in out there. He was glad to hear about the machine shop going in out there. He said that's a good one. But then, I never seen that.
I went in there the other day and he ought to see all their equipment.
Are they going to get machinists? Have you talked to them?
Yeah.
They going to move down from...
They're on the move now.
Well, they're moving down here to stay working for them.
Yeah. They built a new house in Spring City.
And then the other three buildings are rent now?
That's their, well, I think there's only two. I think they've taken up two of them.
Okay, that's just all I got to report. That's going on up there. Like this restroom in the cemetery. Well, I guess we're going to get together. You just want to decide what you want to do in the house or leave it up to Public Works? And
I think we need to get on the cemetery. I think we need to kind of get a ballpark what we're looking at for sewer line, water line, power. I don't know. I wish to, and we need to find out if we can use the cemetery money for that. I guess first of all, before we spend even effort for you guys to do anything. So I guess that's our first to do on that one.
What's the four words at the end of that code that kind of leaves that open, Dave?
To me, it wasn't at the start or at the end of it. It was more at the start. I interpreted it quite a bit different than it was.
I can hear him. Yeah, that's right.
Limited to
that limited to just purchase of ground
means you can hear some of the examples that are appropriate, but not limited to means you can do other things with.
Yeah, I still think even if we get them. The one, the part down there, we could use one up in that cemetery.
I agree, because there's a lot of people, well, you know, we're not people.
If we got the one up in the park, I'd recommend we lock it, other than one somebody's there at the cemetery.
Well, like I said, you could have your police officers open and lock them.
You'd have to get an automatic system, because they get called out.
The big deal that Mike wants, too, is to be able to keep it open, so he...
Well, yeah, when he's out running or walking, and so they get into it. You know, there's more people walk the cemetery, I think, than they do the track.
Yeah, there is. They include the cemetery as part of the track to make it a mile. Because if you walk the...
They go right up in the cemetery, though.
That's what I'm saying. If you walk the track and then you go up into the cemetery, it's a mile.
Oh, okay, then it's a mile.
They've got a chart of that, but it's an actual mile walk.
Let me ask you this on that restroom, the water line that's there, is eventually going to be turned over to irrigation, isn't it?
No.
How are you going to?
So there's one running in from the east, it's running north and south right there, Paul. And then it kind of goes down the main road there and loops back out.
So you just have to cap?
It's not tied into A section. A section comes in at the very far south end is where the sprinkler lines are coming in, where your back flow and everything back for A section.
Okay, so that one that goes up the main road, that doesn't hook into any of the?
Not that I'm aware of. Come find me tomorrow.
Seems to me like it makes a loop.
Yeah, come grab me tomorrow. We'll go for that. I'll show you what I think.
We have the water and power right there. And for the price, what they do for our cemetery, and just.
Better in the hands of a bunch.
Better in the hands of a lot. That building right there is the one that Sandra liked, the one that shows on the front, and that's the price for it. It's really a bitch right there out there.
Well, I'd love to see us find some money and do a really nice veterans memorial that stays up like Spring City's all the time.
Yeah, well, this would go along with that too, so.
It would really make it nice out there.
Yeah, it'd go along with that too, so. We need to do all we can maybe to try to see if we can get it put together.
Did you see a picture of it, Pam, you guys?
Have you seen it, Shane?
I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
It is going to be nice.
So if perpetual care is a woman too, then I would think Shane could use some of that money for trees.
Shane's got all the trees taken care of.
You got anything else?
What's
your?
Yeah. I think perpetual care money could be used to maintain it.
It's probably part of the grounds, the trees.
It smells a lot clearer to reduce.
So I think the only thing I have to report is the spring line is out to bid. There's a pre-bid meeting here on the 1st of November at 2:30. And then the bids were due back, let's see, the 10th, but I'm going to make sure. The 10th of November, so at 2:30.
That's the bid opening, 2:30 on the 10th?
Uh-huh.
That's for the well?
No, that's for the water treatment plant. So the water line coming out of spring down to the water treatment plant, they split it in different parts, so they've been a bit. Sunrise realized that they've bid out a couple lately and it hasn't helped to keep anything together. So they're bidding out the spring line first, and then they'll build out the buildings separate. And he's still trying to get a price back. I haven't heard a firm on the well driller what extra he's wanting to have. So
well, that's good to hear. That's moving forward.
So it's
how about the penstock shed up there that's leaking? Isn't the penstock leaking? Do we have some troubles up there at that?
No, it's not leaking no more. No.
Okay.
We fixed that last year.
Well, yeah, Paul did a good job last year on that. So it's fine.
It had but several leaks.
Yeah, it's been a good leak again, but all the pipe down at the lower sewer pond that looks like culvert, that's the penstock line.
Oh,
it's good. It looks like Swiss cheese.
Each piece has a couple patches on it.
Yeah. Lots of band-aids.
That was bad area through there, so.
We used to use DevCon over the power plant all the time. That was really good stuff.
But there is, I'm looking into the grant. There's some money out there for hydro. So I'm looking at the penstock cost and replacing that and everything. And especially if we wanted to use that, Paul and I, we kind of talked about a little bit, that bring that water line down for culinary water sometime. You know, we can talk about that in the future too. So.
That would be the best thing to do as you're doing the penstock, bring another line down for that other culinary water. If it's our water.
Yeah.
the tart water. It goes into our pet stock.
Yeah.
It's good drinking water.
So let's move on to the project.
You're good?
I'm good.
I make the motion to adjourn.
Second, sir.
I'll second it.
I want to thank Paul and Paul for going out to Corvallis.
Oh, that's a great.
You were great.
It's very educational.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Some of it was all hot for me, like the control room and stuff. The guy at